From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns brings the next portion of a message called Successful Christian Living, part of this series of studies in the Book of Joshua. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. First, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from Morning by Morning, by Charles Haddon Spurgeon. This morning's meditation comes from three texts. Jude 1, sanctified by God the Father. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 2, sanctified in Christ Jesus. 1 Peter 1 and verse 2, through sanctification of the Spirit. Mark the union of the three divine persons in all their gracious acts. How unwisely do those believers talk who make preferences in the persons of the Trinity, who think of Jesus as if he were the embodiment of everything lovely and gracious, while the Father they regard as severely just, but destitute of kindness. Equally wrong are they who magnify the decree of the Father and the atonement of the Son, so as to depreciate the work of the Spirit. In deeds of grace, none of the persons of the Trinity acts apart from the rest. They are as united in their deeds as in their essence. In their love towards the chosen, they are one. And in the actions which flow from that great central source, they are still undivided. Specially notice this in the matter of sanctification. While we may, without mistake, speak of sanctification as the work of the Spirit, yet we must take heed that we do not view it as if the Father and the Son had no part therein. It is correct to speak of sanctification as the work of the Father, of the Son, and of the Spirit. Still does Jehovah say, "Let us make man in our own image, after our likeness." And thus we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. See the value which God sets upon real holiness, since the three persons in the Trinity are represented as co-working to produce a church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. And you, believer, as the follower of Christ, must also set a high value upon holiness, upon purity of life and godliness of conversation. Value the blood of Christ as the foundation of your hope, but never speak disparagingly of the work of the Spirit, which is your meetness for the inheritance of the saints in light. This day, let us so live as to manifest the work of the triune God in us.
Bending wings they hide.
How often have you passed a church that displayed a sign which read, Revival, during a given set of dates? Yet, how many Christians in this age of megachurches and seeker-sensitive religion have the faintest idea of what constitutes revival in the scriptural sense? Down through the centuries, there have been remarkable visitations of God, during which thousands were gloriously saved. Times such as the Protestant Reformation, the revivals in England under John Wesley and George Whitefield, the Great Awakening in America associated with Jonathan Edwards, were times of genuine spiritual revival. The common factor in all of these events was an undeniable demonstration of the power of God rather than the ingenuity of man. In the early 1950s, such a revival occurred on the Isle of Lewis, one of the Hebrides off the west coast of Scotland. In the course of several years, hundreds of people were converted to Christ, and many churches were built to take care of them. Again, the Holy Spirit of God came down in power. The preacher during those days was the Reverend Duncan Campbell. Yet what took place on Lewis was not due to his pulpit skills, but to the overwhelming moving of God among the people. Strong men, hardened sinners who mocked the preacher, were suddenly struck to their knees by the roadside under conviction of sin. Young people in a local dance hall left their frivolity and ran to the churches, crying for mercy upon their souls. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make available CD copies of what happened during those revival times on the Isle of Lewis, including Duncan Campbell's own account of that, as well as personal testimonies of people who came to salvation in Jesus Christ during those revival times. To obtain your own copies of what happened at that time, just request the CDs of the Revival on the Isle of Lewis. You may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or if you wish, you may write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You will be blessed greatly as you listen to these accounts of the power of God at work. Text for this message, Successful Christian Living, is Joshua 1, verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. This is God's definition of success. Knowing God is real success and prosperity. Also, we see the importance of being in the center of God's will, being where the Lord would have us to be, even as Joshua was. Then God had already promised the land, but it was up to Joshua and the army of Israel to possess their possessions. The context tells us that Joshua was alone when the Lord came to him. How vital it is for God's people to get alone with him and to learn on their knees the power and majesty of God. Now to continue this message, Successful Christian Living, here is Dr. Cairns.
What is success in the Christian life? It is living a separated life unto God. It is maintaining the covenant of a circumcised heart. It is maintaining a life of strict and utter separation unto Him. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17 and 18, you have very famous verses that have usually been quoted in fundamentalist churches as a reason to separate from denominational apostasy. And certainly these verses teach that. But unfortunately, in so applying them, we have forgotten the personal application. This is what they say, come out from among them. And be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. Now the unclean thing in Corinth may have been an idol, but looking at the context of the Corinthian letters, it may have been immoral living. Or it may have been declining standards of separation. Or it may have been a backbiting tongue or a device of spirit. Or it may have been doctrinal laxity. All these unclean things were afflicting the church in Corinth. And the apostle says, come out from among them and be ye separate and do not touch that unclean thing. There's a wealth of wisdom there. Now I'm going to be very brutally frank with you, as I am with myself. We've got to learn this. Christians will often come lamenting to God when they're defeated. And they cry for forgiveness and they pray for grace. But the very next time they come in contact with the thing that defeated them, they touch it. They fondle it, they embrace it, And then at the last minute they want to step back from it. And you can't do that. You put your feet in fire. Don't ask God to stop you getting blistered. It's not going to happen. You're going to be burned. Touch not the unclean thing. Separate from it. That's success, because the Lord goes on to say, touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Separation from sin in order to communion with God. It's the great rationale for separated living. I will receive you. I'll be a father unto you. And you'll be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. What is success in the Christian life? It's maintaining your separation. It's victory over sin. It's communion with God. If you follow Joshua outside the city of Jericho, you'll see that successful living is accepting the sovereign lordship of Christ. Because before Joshua would go to the battle of Jericho, he went alone outside. And the Lord met with him. The angel of the Lord came. Can I say to you, before any great enterprise in life, get away from the crowd, even from the crowd of God's people. Before any great enterprise, get away from the noise and get alone with God. Get alone with God. So many Christians are afraid of that place of silence, that place of being utterly alone with their God. That's the reason why we so often fall flat on our faces. Joshua got alone. And in chapter 5 of this great book, verse 13 to 15. When he lifted up his eyes and looked, behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua immediately challenged him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? Listen to the answer. Nay. Now the Lord could have said, I'm for you. That would have been true. But he had a lesson to teach Joshua. Nay, you've got your terms all wrong, Joshua. As captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. Notice what Joshua did. He fell on his face to the earth and he did worship, and he said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? What saith my Lord unto his servant? A moment before, are you for me? Once he finds out to whom he's speaking, he acknowledges his lordship. That's the attitude of real success. The absolute acknowledgement of the lordship of Christ. As many of you, probably most of you know, I was saved as a boy in the Salvation Army. I grew up looking at a picture of the great first general of the Salvation Army, William Booth. That picture is still emblazoned in my brain to this day. A man for whom I have great respect. William Booth was asked on one occasion the secret of his great success. The great old warrior looked at his questioner. Tears ran down his face, and he said, I'll tell you the secret. God has had all there was to have of me. God has had all there was to have of me. That is successful living. In the case of Joshua, you'll find it's fighting the Lord's battles in the Lord's way. How many soldiers would decide to fight at Jericho, which was it's the oldest known fortified city in the world. It was a city whose fortifications were so great that the people could live inside in total security. The state of military armaments in those days was not advanced enough to be any real threat to Jericho. It was secure. Now, in those circumstances, I don't think too many soldiers would have thought it a very wise military ploy to march a nation in circles round about the walls. We have heard sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. Well, I think the people of Jericho must have wondered, what on earth are those people doing? Battering rams? Well, we think we can withstand them. Soldiers trying to scale the walls? I think we can withstand them. The great catapults of war? I think we can withstand them. But do we have anything to worry about with a bunch of people walking round about the walls, and the biggest noise they make is blowing a ram's horn when they've done so? Doesn't seem a very wise way to go. But that's because the foolishness of God is wiser than man. And it was God's way. We have to learn to fight the Lord's battles. Fight the good fight, as Paul says. But we have to learn to fight the Lord's battles in the Lord's way. He says in Isaiah 55, that your ways are not mine and mine are not yours. Your thoughts are not my thoughts. As the heavens are high above the earth, my thoughts are higher than yours and my ways are higher than yours. So we better learn to do God's work in God's way. If people would remember that, half the junk, well, I would say all the junk that has been imported into the church as little methods of success would never have gained an entrance. Paul says, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, in order that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. That's success. Live so as to please the one who called you to be a soldier. And if you strive for masteries, strive lawfully. There's another facet of successful living. And this touches every one of us. And that is learning from failure and removing especially the sin that caused it. Joshua succeeded at Jericho. An amazing victory. An amazing victory. Just up the road, there's this little glorified village, just a little town. Having defeated Jericho, anybody can win the battle of Ai. Well, he sent out his men, and they were routed. Joshua falls before the Lord, and he laments, Lord, we've been routed. The heathen are going to laugh. What will we say when Israel turns its back on its enemies? The promise of God is of none effect. The covenant has been broken. The promised possession is not now going to be ours. Lord, it's all a great fiasco and a great failure. I'm here to pray about it. God says to Joshua, get up from off your face. This is not the time to pray. The time to pray was before you went. You didn't do it. You failed. Not only Achan failed, Joshua failed through prayerlessness. Joshua failed through presumption. And if he had gone before God, he'd have known not to go to Ai until Achan had been dealt with. So Joshua failed at Ai, and he couldn't have success until he obeyed God and dealt with sin. Listen, it would be lovely if we never failed. But we do fail. The devil wants to tell you that once you feel your life is over, you can never be successful for God, you can never count for God, your life's just washed out. But listen, successful Christian living doesn't wallow in failure. It learns from it. And it leaves the cause of that failure behind. And that leads to the, I suppose, what sums up the whole book of Joshua. The greatest detail of successful living for God is experiencing God's power to use us. That's the real meaning of success, the ultimate in this life, knowing God's power, being an instrument in God's hand, being filled with God's Spirit, being a means of fulfilling God's purpose. Jesus said to his disciples, "Ye shall be my witnesses." Ye be my witnesses. But how are you going to be that? How on earth are we ever going to be successful witnesses for Christ? You shall be filled with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Filled with the Holy Ghost. That's the great mark of success. When Paul came to the end of his life, he says, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith." How could he say that? Because God's power enabled him.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.